You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends, on this Monday. Happy Monday to you. God bless you. Thanks for spending 30 minutes of your Monday with me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. I want to go back and I want to play this first sermon in Romans chapter 8. So this will play today and tomorrow, and then Wednesday and Thursday you'll hear the sermon I just preached yesterday, and that is called God is For Me. Perhaps the most famous chapter in all the Bible, Romans chapter 8, and starts with, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And that's the title for this sermon, No Condemnation. Again, this will play today and tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. We'll see God is For Me. That's the conclusion the Apostle Paul came to when he understood and when he saw, when the Holy Spirit showed him all that God had done to him behind the scenes once he received the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll let this opening play on Tuesday as well. So depending on what day it is, Monday or Tuesday, is No Condemnation part one or part two? Have a blessed day.
Okay, are we rolling, Danny? Are we rolling, madam? No Condemnation is the name of this. Pretty good title if you ask me, seeing that what we learned a few weeks back, that the wages of sin is death. But yet, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I think it's on the handout, isn't it? Yes, it is. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So what's changed? Well, that depends. Nothing's changed without Jesus. And with the Lord, everything is changed with him. For he is the eternal life changer. Amen? Without him, nothing's changed. With him, everything's changed. He was the answer last Sunday when the Apostle Paul cried out in chapter 7, verse 24. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? The answer was, and it still is, the man in the glory, Jesus. He will deliver you. He will deliver you from you. I mean, who else can save you? Who can save you from you? That's the great shock and revelation. You need saving from yourself. Because if left to your own devices, you will not cross the finish line in faith. We can't do it alone. We need help. Enter in the Son of God, who will deliver me from this body of death. Now, some people think what he meant by that was what they used to do to condemned prisoners back in the day. They would take a dead person, a dead, decaying body, and they would strap the dead person to the condemned man. And they would make him haul that dead body around with him until it killed him. So let's roll with that analogy. Who will deliver me from this body of death strapped to me? You see, I've got a zombie strapped to me. You're walking around with a zombie strapped to your back. God help me, he's crying out. I can't do this on my own. I need help. And don't kid yourself, he wrote this as a Christian. Okay? The Apostle Paul wrote this as a Christian. He struggled. He didn't know what to do. There's not, the word spirit is not in Romans 1:1 through Romans 7:28. Not until chapter 8. Now it's like 14 times Spirit, 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 capital S. Now I understand how we can get the victory. Enter in the Holy Spirit of the living God. He will deliver you from you. He is the only one that can take away the dead body from off your back. He is the only one that can set you free from that dead body. For whom the Son sets free, he said himself, whom the Son sets free, right, it's free indeed. He is free, and that's his promise to you. When Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed, and no demon in hell can change that. Martha, no one can change that. Now, back to the top. There is therefore, catch the word therefore in there. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But that's not the end of the verse. Keep reading, because there's a comma there. Keep reading. He's going to provide us with some more information now. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, comma, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So it seems to me he's not referring to you if you're walking according to the flesh. He's referring to you that are walking according to the Spirit. Or he's just showing you what that looks like. Those that are in Christ don't walk according to the flesh. They walk according to the Spirit. Now, I know that's a hard saying, but we've got to accept it. Just do what he says and you'll be all right. Simple enough, right? Do what he says and you'll be all right. I mean, that's not difficult with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, right? Blessed is he who hunger and thirst after righteousness, right? That's not that difficult, right? Love what God loves. We can do that, right? Hate what God hates, right? Walk according to the Spirit. How? Number one, by going in the same direction he's going in. Going in the same direction that he's going in. Jesus said, and I just quoted it to you, Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You wake up in the morning and you say, what kind of good can I do today to turn this evil, crooked world right side up? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. So that's number one. How can I walk in the Spirit? By going the same direction he is. Number two, by remembering you are a slave of righteousness. Not only do you wake up and say that, you're chained to it. It says you're a slave. You're a slave of waking up in the morning and doing good. You're chained to it. Paul wrote a few weeks back, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as slave, that is, hello, my name is, right? Whom you present yourselves as slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, that means it's going to kill you, or of obedience leaving to righteousness. Remember, righteousness and justified, remember, God. Down goes the gavel, not guilty. Righteousness. That's a sentence, a judicial sentence God pronounces over your soul when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So by remembering, you are a slave of righteousness. God be thanked that though you used to be slaves of sin, yet you obeyed the word the pastor shared with you, or you obeyed in your heart the word of God. And having been set free from sin, this is Romans 6:18, having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You're chained to it now. You're chained to him. That's good news, isn't it? I got 30 some odd years of being chained to sin, and that gives me an upset stomach, and it makes me want to vomit. Thank God we're chained to him now. So how else can I walk in the Spirit? John MacArthur writes, Walk refers to your lifestyle. Because that's a tough, how can I walk with someone that I cannot see? It's got to mean something more than that. I can't see him. How can I walk with him? Lifestyle. The habits of living and thinking that characterize a person's life. Living and thinking. Living and thinking. Living and thinking. Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man what? In his where? Right, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's walking in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God's moving in a particular direction. And he's orchestrating good wherever he goes. I ask the question, are you with him and going in his direction or not? Or are you a rebel, straining at going in the opposite direction? Again, that's verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Also in verse 1, he says that for all Christians who are walking in there or with the Spirit, that there's no condemnation. Meaning, due to the Son of God dying on the cross and taking your penalty for your sins upon himself, that you, O Christian, will never be condemned. And you will never be judged guilty for your sins. That's what that means. God will never, and he's got a big old gavel, he will never slam down this gavel and declare you guilty. Why? Because his son died in your place. And he was guilty. And yet, he was an innocent bystander, right? He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the of God. Remember, we read in Hebrews chapter 8, he says, your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember. No, now that is some good news today, if you ask me. God's got amnesia with my sins. Sort of makes you want to shout, doesn't it? Look at all that he's done. Jesus was judged as guilty in your place. Hence the saying, Good Friday. That word for condemnation is the word katakrima. Krima means judgment. The word kata attached to anything, it means down. So that would be judgment handed down. It's the exact opposite. It's the polar opposite of being justified. Instead of the gavel coming down and God saying not guilty, the gavel's going to down and he's going to say guilty. It's judgment. It's handed down. Handed down. Sentence handed down. Hence the word condemn. Where sentence is handed down. Without Christ, the sentence is guilty. Or even worse than that, you see, God's not a Democrat. Even worse than that, it's condemned. He doesn't let you out of jail in a week like some presidents have. Guilty. Now turn with me, John chapter 3, verse 17. Let's look at this word again here. John 3, 17. Some of these politicians for money let people out of jail in a couple weeks. There's only one way to get out of this jail, and that's by faith. And it's already on your back. It's a monkey. It's already on your back. John 3:17. Red letters, if you have a red letter Bible, it's Jesus speaking. Here we go. For God, this is right after the famous John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now he hits you with this, verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's not God's will for you. He doesn't want to condemn you. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for you. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's God's desire for you, salvation. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned. Keep reading. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Now he tells you why. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And that's where we are today. November 30th, year of our Lord, 2025. He's just summed up all of life right there. Men love darkness rather than light. Now, the good news this morning is you can change your standing before God before you leave today. But make no mistake about it, this monkey's already on your back. He who does not believe, he says, is condemned already. But you can change your standing, and you do that by receiving his son and by exchanging. Now, catch this exchange. You can exchange your sins for his righteousness. What else can you say other than that, right? Kind of makes you want to shout, doesn't it? What an exchange. God will take all of your sins, and in exchange for that, he'll give you his righteousness. And not only that, he's going to pay the price for it by his own blood. God help me. Let's move on. Back to Romans 8. Back from the top. Sometimes it just makes me want to shout. He who has been forgiven of much, the Bible says, loves much. I can't help but give him glory. There is therefore now, I'm back at the top where we started. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And he's just showed you how, right? Those that believe in his name. You don't got to jump through any hoops. All that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the simplicity that's in Christ. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not any more difficult than that. All right, verse 2. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So there's two more laws for you right there. See that? Life and death. Life and death. The law of the Spirit of life, capital S, and that's found in Jesus Christ. Life in him, that's John chapter 1, isn't it? In him is life, and the life was the light of men. The law of the Spirit of life. And that law, like the law of gravity or the law of sowing and reaping, is the law of life, eternal life. When you are found in Christ. So let me ask the question, where do you want to be found today? If you were to depart and leave this world today, where would you be found? Only you can answer that. Even the Apostle Paul, the guy has been to heaven, he's hoping his prayer was to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of by faith. That's where he wanted to be found. Let's you and I strive to be found there as well. If he can strive for it, maybe you and I should strive for it as well. What do you think? The second law is the law of sin and death. And that law goes like this. James chapter 1, verse 15, it says, sin, when it's finished with you, will kill you. Meaning sin, your unwelcome house guest, for those that were here last week, remember, we personified sin as an unwelcome house guest. He's got a free lease on the inside of you. He never goes away. You just got to learn to master it. Sin, when it's done using you, will just toss you out the window and discard you and leave you for dead. And that's really the only two laws we need to be concerned about here this morning. Life and death. Life and death. The law of the Spirit of life. That is, receive Jesus Christ and you receive the Spirit of life and eternal life. And the law of sin, just like the law of gravity, the law of sin and death. That is, just keep doing what you're doing, and your sins will find you out. If you keep this kind of lifestyle, the monkey is already on your back. It's already on your back, and it needs to be removed. It's not going to be added later. It's already on your back. It's already on your back. Now it needs to be removed, and it's removed in Jesus Christ. He will exchange the monkey on your back for peace. Sound like Ringo Starr. What does he say? The peace and love. Real peace and love, right? Having your name in the book of life, having God have amnesia with your sins. Now we're talking some serious peace. Where you don't need any no-dos or whatever the stuff is to help fall asleep. Peace and love. Verse 3 informs us that keeping rules can't fix the problem. Listen to what he says. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. See, that's why they said they couldn't even recognize him on the cross. Look at what happened to the Son of God. Remember, it says, he who knew no sin, he was made to be sin. Like me up in New Jersey in wintertime. Gathering the snow, put a little acorn in there to really put the hurt on someone. Made to be sin. Can you imagine that? Because God loves you. I mean, and he's serious about sin, right? What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he, here's that word, katakrima again. It says he condemned sin in the flesh. I'd have to ask the question, whose flesh? Right, Jesus's. So here you've got the Son of God. All of the sins of mankind. Out comes God's gavel. Slams down that gavel. And says, I condemn you, sin. In his own son. That's a tough doctrine, isn't it? Second Corinthians 5:21, it says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What an exchange. Look at the awesome works of our God. Look at what he's done to you, through you, and for you. Number one, he's taken away all your sins and laid them on his son. Number two, he exchanged his right standing before God for your sins. Jesus gave you his right standing. And in exchange, he took all of your sins. Number three, he took your penalty for your sins. Because the Bible's been telling us all along that the wages of sin is death. And number four, in exchange for your death sentence, he gave you the spirit of life and a life sentence. Kind of just makes you want to shout, doesn't it? Okay, now let's look a little bit more from this chapter here this morning. We still got a few more minutes, right? As long as I want, Ron. Let's go down to verse 5. As once again, the Apostle Paul is going to start doing what he does. Now he's going to start comparing the two things side by side like he always does. Okay? Verse 5. He's going to compare the spirit and the flesh. Spirit and the flesh. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, that would be, let's say, those who let the unwelcome house guest in you rule, all right? Living according to the flesh. Listen to the sin man that's got a free rent on the inside of you. It's live according to the flesh. So, those who live according to their flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, capital S, set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Like I've said before, you're going to have to serve somebody, either the Lord or yourself. But know and understand, if all you do is this life is serve yourself, you will never survive. How could you? If you serve yourself, it will kill you.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.